Saw good morning. I kind of heard y'all. Good morning. There we go. Y'all are awake. If you're not, we have some more donuts back there, and that sugar will definitely wake you up. Actually, there may not be any more donuts, so I shouldn't say that. My kids eat a lot of them. So last week we kind of wrapped up on the series that we were doing, the gospel and it was work, gospel and money or finances, gospel and depression, gospel and tragedy. And last week I spoke kind of briefly about last Sunday morning, but I want to kind of get into it a little bit deeper from what I talked to you last week. So I want to fill you guys in with kind of some stuff that happened, and it led to this message this week. So last week on Saturday night, I was working on some things, and whenever I'm working on some things in my bedroom, whether it be the message for Sunday or whether it be something else that I'm doing on the internet or whatever, sometimes I like to put on some worship music. So I'll bring up YouTube, and there's usually, you can do a search for worship music 2016 or whatever, and there'll be a list of 100 songs, and you start the top one and it just scrolls through and plays. And I know some of you can't do that with Windstream, but at our house, it's kind of halfway decent. So I started playing these songs, and I was working, and then this song that you guys just heard came on, different track, and I was like, man, that's a cool song. I need to learn that for Cornerstone. It's been a while since I learned something new, so I want to learn to play that. So my system, if you will, whenever I want to learn a new song is I hear the original one, and then I like to go and look for a cover that just uses a guitar or like an acoustic kind of thing, because, well, we don't have drums and electric guitars and cool keyboards and all the things they have. So I like to hear those acoustic versions, and then I watch guitar tutorials and try to learn a new song. So I was watching the tutorials, and it got to be bedtime, and so I go to bed. And I come up here Sunday morning, like usual, and I'm doing my run-through in the message. I always come up here at about 7 o'clock, and I do a run-through the entire message, and I time it to see if it's too long or too short. Today's is too long, just so that you know. So I go through it, and then whenever I was done going through the message last week, I go back there, and I go to putting the stuff into the computer. I'm like, man, I want to hear that song some more so that I can keep getting into my brain and learn the lyrics of it. And I put it on, and I'm listening to it. And then somehow or another, it just like it hit me, though, the words, "There is power in the name of Jesus," and then "break every chain," to break every chain. So I start feeling the tears flowing. I was like, no, can't do that. Men don't cry. We've got to shake this off. And next thing you know, I'm like just bawling back there. The kid that you took away their candy, the kind of bawling, like I'm just broken back there. And so I'm like, I just bow my head, and I'm like, God, what is going on? Like, I'm not supposed to be crying up here. I have a message to you. I can't have red eyes and all this stuff. And as I'm sitting there praying, I start seeing pictures of people from this congregation and friends that I know, and all the things that I know of that's going on in their lives starts coming up in my mind. And I'm trying to like hear, what are you trying to tell me right now, God? What is all this? And I start realizing as I'm listening to the song playing from the speaker, and as I'm praying to God, that God is showing me these people and these chains that are binding them up, these struggles that people are going through. And so it's like things that there's people facing. There's divorce happening. There's addictions. There's all these things that I know are that we're dealing with here in the body and outside friends and things going on, and all these things are coming up. And so I start thinking about this stuff and the things going on, and then I figure out, like, here's my struggle in all this. Like, you know, I always think of myself, I struggle with some things, like you know, I've mentioned anger, that's getting better, but I have a big struggle that came to mind right then, and that's that, you know, like I'm a fixer. I want to figure things out. I want to fix things. Like, if something's broken, I want to go in and figure out how to fix it. I did that for so many years with computers. Like, that's been my career. People would bring broken computers, I would go in and fix them. I would make them work. Sometimes whenever other people couldn't fix them, I would go in and figure out the problem and fix it and make it work. So I'm like a fixer. So I like to fix machines. I sometimes like to do other things. I like to work on stuff and make things work, and I also like to fix people. But here's the problem with fixing people is that I can't fix people. I can't make things better for them. I know that I did it for computers for years, and then like I still fixing computers, but my desire is to like fix things. I want to make things better. Cars, machines, computers, everything. I want to fix stuff. That's like my nature is I'm a fixer. So while I'm thinking about all these things, I realize that like I'm taking on all these things and trying to figure out how to fix people. I can't take away people's struggles. I can't take away addictions. I can't take away their grief. I can't stop people from just making all these mistakes. I can't stop divorce. I can't, and it bothers me that I can't fix these things. Like, I think that I know what's going on in someone's world, and I want to tell them how to fix everything, but I can't. There's nothing that I can do, and so that's like my struggle, is that I want so badly to fix things, and God showed me that in that moment back there last Sunday morning, that I am trying to take on all these things, and I'm wanting to fix stuff, but there's nothing that I can do to fix these things. So there was a couple things that God kind of showed me in that. One of them is that people are struggling with things. Like we've all got these things that we struggle with, that we're dealing with, whether it be some type of sin or just other things that's on our plate that we're dealing with, and we're trying to figure out how to remedy them ourselves and how to work on things. But like we're not turning things over to God, and I'm included in that. So if we're not confessing these things to Jesus and just letting them go, then we're hanging on to it, and that can cause us a strain between us and our Heavenly Father. So God showed me that, number one. The other thing is that I can't fix it. As badly as I want to fix things and make things better and make people feel better, I felt so small and weak, and I feel that way sometimes late at night whenever I'm thinking about something going on and I'm wanting to fix it. I just start feeling small and weak, like there's nothing that I can do, and that makes me feel helpless. Because I want, for you guys, I want my friends, I want people to know that I love them, I care about them. I have a deep love for people, and that's something that is still really new for me in the span of the 23 years, I forget how old I am now, but the 40 years that I've been alive, like it's a small span that God's given me this heart that I really deeply care about people. But God has like this crazy love for people, so much so that He was willing to send His Son to be mocked and beaten and put on a cross to die. Like, God's love is so much deeper than anything that I've got, and He's bigger than all the problems that any of us have. And then here I am sitting there like I can't fix anything. I'm sitting back there listening to the song. I'm crying. I'm seeing these faces, and like this helpless feeling is washing over top of me. Like there's nothing that I can do to make things better. I see chains that are like binding up the people that is coming through my mind, things going on in their life that I know that they're struggling with. And then I realize, man, that's like my struggle. Like I want to fix this stuff. As a man, I want to fix things. As a pastor, I want to fix things. And God's given me this deep love. I used to not care if somebody else had problems. Like, that's, you know, I got my own problems. I don't have time to deal with yours, so I've got my own stuff going on here. And that was my attitude, but now I so deeply care. So my struggle is that I'm wanting to fix things instead of me turning over things to God and just going, God, this is something beyond me. This is something that I can't fix, something that I can't solve, because it's in my nature to want to fix these things. I can't make people believe and trust in Christ. I have friends that are so lost that I so deeply want them to know Christ, but I can't make that happen. I can't make people come back alive. If I could, I would bring back my grandmother. I can't make people love each other. Like people that are getting divorced, I can't fix that. I can't make them come back together and work things out and see problems that seem so clear on the outside. I can't go in there and fix those things. So that's something that starts to bother me. I can't make someone desire God more than they desire whatever addiction that is plaguing them and tearing them up inside. I can't make someone see exactly how special they are to God. I can't. And I want to so badly. I want to fix things. I want to go in and make things better for people, and I can't do that. But what I can do, and what was laid on my heart last week, is that I can try to teach people and give them tools to cope with the hard things that come up in these lives, to help them break those chains that are binding them up. Because we have these tools. We have this big toolbox right here. And this thing is full of all kinds of tools that we can have to fight off and ward off these struggles. God says so much about everything in life in here that there's nothing that we can't find inside of His Word. At one point in the Bible, it says that, like in Proverbs, I think, or maybe Ecclesiastes, it's all been done before. Like, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything has happened before. You know, sure, they didn't have computers and things back then. So if we have issues in that area, then, you know, yeah, maybe it wasn't there. But the bottom line, the principles of it all has all been done before. So there's all these different chains that people are dealing with, whether you are sitting here this morning with me or whether it is some friend out there, and I know that things are going on in people's lives, but these chains come in all sizes. There's chains of addiction. There's chains of anger. There's chains of unforgiveness, chains of unbelief, chains of depression, of limited self-worth, chains of holding things back from God. And I want to find out some of the tools that God's given us that we can break these chains, break hold of them so they don't have a hold on our lives anymore. And that's what I've been studying this week, is to try to find some things. So as I'm studying, and I'm reading a lot because I like carefully wrote this thing, and I'm going to go off of it sometimes, but I'm still trying to stick with my line here so that it all makes sense in the end. And Amber had to rearrange a bunch of stuff to make it even make more sense, because sometimes my brain doesn't work the same way as others. So first, I think we need to start off with our conclusion, with like the conclusion that we come to. And I know that that's weird to have the conclusion up at the first, but I think before we can look at solving anything, we have to come to the conclusion that there's a problem, right? Like they say with the people that are going into drug addiction courses or alcohol, that you have to first admit that you have a problem, and then you're able to begin to work on that problem. So is that making sense? Our conclusion has to, we have to conclude a few things first. So I also wrote down, you don't take your computer to a shop whenever you don't think there's something wrong with it, right? I mean, most people don't take their computer into a computer shop and say, hey, I need you to fix this. Well, what's wrong with this? Like, I don't know. It seems to be working just fine, but I just want to make sure that there's nothing going on with it. So people don't do that. You usually have, you know, pop-ups like crazy, or your computer's slow or something, and then you admit that there's a problem, and so you take it in to get it fixed, and you spend a whole lot of money getting that done, unless you come to my old computer shop, and then you don't spend near as much as what you would at other places. But I'm closed. So we need to line up all of our thoughts with God's Word. We've talked about that many times. Like, we have to be sure that we're lined up with what's in God's Word here. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, the thing's going to come up behind me, says, For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. So if you believe the Bible like what I do, you realize its authority on our lives, on the lives of others. God has all authority, and we have to trust that what God said through the men that wrote these books of the Bible. So we can trust that God says, I can't even understand what I wrote down there. So we can trust what God says over everything the world says. That's it. So whatever God says in here, we can trust this over what the world is telling us about different things, right? Unless what the world is saying lines up with God's word, and then we know that it's truth, but we know that the world spits out a whole lot of things that isn't truth at all. And last week, I talked about not letting the world define us, but instead letting God define us. But what I realize and want to point out today is that sometimes it's not so much how the world defines us, it's how we start defining ourselves and how we look at ourselves. We look in the mirror and we see something that the world may not see, and we see things different than God sees it, and sometimes that can wreak havoc on our lives, on ourselves, on our perspective of who we are and things like that. So what are some of the things that define ourselves? And I'm going to try to speak from my own experiences with the lies that I've told myself, and because of some of the things that I've been through. Like in my 40 years, I've been through a lot of experiences, depression, addictions, and all sorts of things. And one of those things is that I'm not good enough. I've shared that before. I'm not good enough. I'm not going to amount to anything. I heard that as a child. And so that's something that I clung on to for a long time. And those things can be like, I'm unattractive. I'm not that smart. We can have these things talking to us. And I know it's hard to believe that, you know, I could ever look in the mirror and think that, but I actually did. No, I'm kidding. That's that arrogance thing that Amber was talking about this morning. So whenever I was young, I used to define myself by how I dressed, right? We never had money. I've talked about that before. So we always had these hand-me-down clothes. And it turns out that if I had actually been raised up about 10 to 15 years later, then it would have been cool, right? Because what I wore back then, we called high water pants. They came up to about right there because I was long and skinny, so I had jeans that fit, but they usually came up to about mid-thigh. And somebody in marketing, I'm sure, thought up the term capri pants. So it would have been a much cooler if I had just waited like 15 years to be born, but I didn't have that option. So I used to feel ugly and not valuable and all those things because of the way that I dressed, the way that it made me feel because of going to school and, you know, other people making me feel that way also. I didn't hear of high water pants until people started saying that in school. But there's such a variety of things that can make anyone feel ugly. If our hair isn't just right, then we can feel like we're ugly. If our nose is too small or too big, that can make us feel ugly. If our eyebrows aren't just right, or maybe we have an eyebrow, that can make us feel ugly. If we don't have these perfect teeth, then we can feel ugly. If our ears are too big or they stick out too far, then there's so much about our physical bodies that can make us start to feel like we're ugly, like we're not valuable, or like we're not attractive, and we get hung up on those things. But then as I start looking at these things and thinking about these things that I know can go through any of us at any given time, I start thinking, like, what does God say about us? Like, what does he say? When I'm feeling that way, what does God say about me? What does he say about you? And this is some of the things that I came across whenever I was studying this. First is Isaiah 64:8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." So whenever I think of a potter, I have to go up to the promise. That's the only time I've ever seen anybody do pottery. But there was a lady up there that she would sit up at the top of the amphitheater, and she had one of those pottery wheels, and she would form this clay, and she would start building it up and turning it into all these intricate things that she would work on. And she would make it just right, and if there was a blemish, she would work that out with some water and some more clay, and she would work this thing and turn it into actually a really nice vase or whatever it was that she was working on at the time. But she did that, and she made it exactly the way that she wanted it to be, and then she would pull that out. And I didn't think about this for this, but then you put that into a oven and you bake it, and think about our lives and all the things that God puts us through that can heat us up and make us and make us stay exactly the way that he wants us to be. That's not part of this message. I'll do that another time. But that one really hit me. Like, God made, he's like the potter. He made us exactly like what he wants us to be. And then we go all the way back to Genesis 1:31, and it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." And then he says, "And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day." So God is this potter, and he forms us. He forms us in our mother's womb, and then whenever he looks at that, he's going to say, "And that's good. That's good. I've made something good here," is the way that God is going to view us. He's going to view you that way. He's going to view me that way. He makes us exactly what he wants us to be, and then he calls it good. Job 31:15, whenever Job is talking to God, he says, did not he who made me in the womb make him, and did not one of us fashion us in the womb?" So God, the potter, in our mother's womb created us exactly the way that he wanted us to be, and he saw that that was good. That's pretty awesome, right? That the God, the creator of the universe, of the world, made us exactly how he wants us to be, and he says that we're good, made exactly the way that he wants to be. So here's your tool. And try to remember this. It's Psalm 139. If you remember Psalm 139, you'll be able to remember this. And this is something that we should all memorize. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." So whenever you start feeling like there's something unattractive about you, that there's something ugly, that there's something just not right, then think about that, that you can praise Him because you were fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are all of God's works. And your soul knows that very well. So whenever our human flesh is speaking to us and telling us these nasty things about ourselves, think about what God says. Think that He said you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's pretty awesome to me to think about. That's something you can put into your toolbox and remember that whenever you start feeling something negative about yourself. And the last thing that I wanted to mention on this point is, let's look at Isaiah 53. Before I read this, whenever we think about Jesus, the image depiction that comes to mind is usually the kind of blonde or brown-haired Jesus with the curls and comes out there and looks like he's probably cut at one of the more expensive places, not at Pro Cuts or something. And then you see his blue eyes and the perfectly trimmed beard, and that's how we want to picture Jesus. They didn't have Polaroids or anything back then, so we don't know what he actually looked like. But this is what Isaiah, who told many prophecies about Jesus that came absolutely true, this is what he said in Isaiah 53. Who has believed that he has heard from us, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. So Jesus was despised and rejected by men with no majesty and no beauty that we should desire him. We know that he was from a town, Nazareth, that wasn't highly esteemed, and that he lived a simple life without many possessions. He was a carpenter, and we know Jesus probably wasn't, you know, who's that guy that all the women put on Facebook that always says, hey, you, or whatever, God, is it Gosden or something? I can't think of the dude's name. Yeah, that one. Cheeto. Yes, Cheeto. So you have that guy that they're, you know, that's like the guy that everybody's saying, that guy is so awesome and he's so great looking. But Jesus, the Son of God, the God in flesh, comes down and he was not someone that we would look at and just think, man, he is so good looking. So when we're thinking we are so unattractive and so unappealing or whatever, remember that Jesus didn't come just, you know, Ryan Gosling style either. So that was kind of cool. God is who gives us our value. It wasn't Jesus' clothes. It wasn't his looks. It wasn't his possessions that gave him value. Nor is it that he gives us value. We have value because God says that we're value. God gives us our value. So the first one is unattractive. That's a chain. That's a binding chain that we have to break free of. God says something completely different than what the world may say about us or what we say when we look in the mirror. The next thing is that I can't stop this sin. I don't know what sin it is that you'd be talking about. You do, and God knows what your sin is. Mine were many. I had anger, distrust, not loving Amber the way that I should, not loving my children the way that God wants me to. I was addicted to gaming and smoking, and I drank a lot. I was addicted to the thought of being rich and chasing money, and the list goes on and on. Laziness, gluttony, fear, arrogance. I have all these different things that would plague me in my life, and some I still deal with, but I'm trying to give all of this stuff up to where I can grow closer to Him. Sin is like any disobedience to God. Anything that He tells us not to do that we go ahead and do anyway. It can be our thoughts about ourselves or other people that God says not to have, and those things can be sinful. Those things can be acts against Him. It's like we're coming over here and we're having a seat on the throne of our life and saying, you know what, God, I love You. I desire You. I know that You are the King of Kings, that You have a plan for my life. I trust You with everything, but here in my life, I kind of just need You to be more of like a little counselor. Like, I want to sit on the throne of my life and rule everything, and I want to take Your counsel into my thought process and try to, you know, maybe implement some of the things that You want me to do, but we primarily want to sit on the throne ourselves and say, I'm the King of my life. I want to do things my way, and sometimes I want to kind of be obedient to what You want, but most of the time, I just want to do my own thing and be my own boss and make my decisions myself. Instead of letting God have His rightful place on the throne of our lives, we want to take that. We want to take that over. So we have all these things in our lives, these sins that we're convicted of, that we hear the Holy Spirit convicting us of and telling us about, and they're like chains that bind us up, and we have a hard time going to God with other things because we have that thing that we know we're reserving over here, and we're trying to kind of hide out from Him, and we don't want to take other things to Him because of that stuff that we're hanging on to. So we need to let go of everything so that we're not bound up and so that we're not keeping ourselves down and we're not fully in Him. Our struggle is like completely and totally real with this. Like, we may have something going on in our lives, we're like, man, I know that I shouldn't tell this lie, but there's so many other things, so many other variables. God, You said not to do it, but I see if I tell the truth, then it's going to just mess up all this other stuff. I know that I shouldn't get angry, but this just ticks me off because this is the 500th time that it's happened. I know that I shouldn't be lusting after that person over there. I shouldn't be doing that, but you know, they're over there, and there's all the, and they just, we deal with these things, and it's stealing something. We have all these things. I know that I shouldn't have said that to my wife. I know I shouldn't have said that to my husband. I know this stuff, and I know that it's wrong, and I'm choosing the wrong way. Like, the struggle is real in dealing with sin. We all have these things that we're just like, we know what's the right thing, but we still mess up. But we're not the only ones. Even the great saints, like the Apostle Paul, struggled with sin. And this is a verse that I learned a long time ago whenever I was just trying to figure out, like, I know the right thing to do, but I still, for some reason, I choose the wrong thing. I want to do what's right, but I still choose what's wrong. Even knowing better, I still do that. And this is what Paul says in Romans 7:15. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law, that is, that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So even Paul is saying, I know that this is what's right, but I still want to do what's wrong. I keep going back to this thing that I know is wrong. So it should be our desire to do what's right. We are forgiven when we go to God, but we still should try to always do the right thing, always be obedient, because that's what He calls us to do. He calls us to be obedient. Another thing that we have to remember whenever we're having these things that are just really tearing us up, that we know that we're supposed to be doing something right, but we keep choosing wrong, is another thing that Paul said to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, in chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I've talked about this before, and I don't want to go into deep. There's such a thing going on all around us, this spiritual realm that is happening, and things that are going on that we don't see, that we still, I think, feel, and the thing that we're still part of. And that's why we have to put on that armor of God daily, is to fight in the spiritual battle that's going on all around us. This struggle between sin and righteousness is going on, and there's things that's pulling us in directions that it shouldn't be, and that's where our battle is. That's why it's so important to have these tools with us, whenever we're hearing these things being whispered into us about our unattractiveness or that you can't stop doing whatever this is that you're wanting to do. Here's the tool from Colossians chapter 3. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If we're doing everything in the name of Jesus, it's going to change our perspective a little bit, right? Because we can't say, and I'm going to tell this lie in the name of Jesus. Maybe that's not a wise idea. I shouldn't really do that. Jesus wouldn't do that, so that's not smart. I'm going to steal something. I'm going to create this idol in the name of Jesus. Still doesn't sound good. But if we're going to do the right thing in the name of Jesus, that makes more sense to us. If we start thinking about everything we do is in the name of Jesus, then we'll start thinking about the good things and the things that we should be doing. And think about whenever you are experiencing this struggle, whenever something is plaguing you and you're having a hard time dealing with something, whatever it may be, whatever wrong thing or whatever grief or whatever sorrow, whatever it is going on, think about there's power in the name of Jesus, right? So we're trying to make that right decision, and it says to start singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So if, like, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And we got those things, how He loves us. Any songs that we can bring up during these times and think about God, think about the good things, it's going to change our perspective. So there's our tool, Colossians 3:15. We have no authority over sin, but there's so much authority in the name of Jesus. He already defeated sin. He defeated it on the cross. He's done with that. That's over with. So whenever you're having those things, go back to His finished work that He's already defeated. He's already defeated sin. If you're at home and you're trying to make a wise decision, you're having a hard time, you're struggling with something, you're trying to understand something, maybe it's not like an immediate thing where you're wanting to do something wrong, but you're trying to think about something that you're dealing with, put on some worship music, like what I do sometimes at night that I heard that song. Put on some worship music and think about those lyrics. Think about what it's saying and let that pour into you, and it'll mess you up, or it'll help you to overcome those things. Whenever you do mess up, whenever you do make a mistake, when you do something that is against God, just confess to Jesus, I messed up. I know that I messed up, and ask Him for forgiveness, because He's going to forgive you. It says, as far as the east is from the west, it's gone. It's thought about no more, and then we just move on. But that brings me to the last point of today, is one of the struggles. As we know intellectually that when we ask God to forgive us for something, when we ask in the name of Jesus to be forgiven over some sin in our life and we want to give that to Him, sometimes we have a hard time forgiving ourselves, right? Sometimes it's hard to move on past what we start saying about ourselves, what we start doing. So, I don't know what you guys have done. I know some of the things that you guys have done, but we believe that God forgives us, right? We believe that. We know that God will forgive us. And we know that it's gone forever, but for some reason we get hung up and we don't want to forgive ourselves for whatever that thing is, whatever is going on in our world. We don't want to let it go. And we still feel the weight of that sin and we don't really feel forgiven, so we bring it up. Or maybe we're able to just pray and ask God to forgive us, and we feel forgiven. But then we're going through life and something comes up and we start, you know, man, your ears really do stick out too far. Your eyebrows, one's lower than the other. One eye is different color than the other one. Whatever it is that you start feeling like you're having some issues, and you remember something, you feel unforgiven of something that you've done. Maybe it's something just pure evil. Maybe it's just something that you did that you know wasn't right, but you still it starts coming back. Like that's Satan will use those things. If we don't fully turn it over to God, if we don't just say, this is yours, I can't do this. I am small. I am helpless. There's nothing that I can do. And we give it to him, then we have to let it go too. But Satan's going to try to bring those things up again. And he's going to try to point the things out in our lives that we need to be letting go of. So we have to just turn those over completely to God. We have to memorize Scripture and know that we're forgiven, that we can forgive ourselves. We're still going to suffer repercussions for the mess-ups that we have. Like, if we do something completely wrong that affects other people, and maybe even just ourselves and whatever happens, poor decisions, we didn't follow what we felt like God was telling us to do, and so we end up suffering repercussions from that. But we can still be forgiven and know that that is part of our past and that God says something different, that we are a child of the Almighty King, that we are His children, that we are loved by Him, that He formed us exactly how He wants us to be, and that we can be in Him in everything, because God forgives you. He forgives us. It's as simple as that. Even though we're released from the bondage of sin, and you can read Romans chapter 6 through 8 to learn more about that, we can still choose to wallow in that and act as though we're not freed from that sin that's plaguing us. And likewise, with guilty feelings, we can accept the fact that we're forgiven in Christ, or we can believe that the devil's lie, that we're still guilty in some way and should therefore feel guilty. We have to forgive ourselves sometimes and just let that go and not let the devil tell us the lies that, you know, did God really say that He was going to forgive you completely, or was that thing something so bad that He can't forgive it? Did He really, really, really say that? We have to let those things go. Otherwise, that's how we're going to be talked to by the enemy. He's going to come in and try to destroy our lives, our new life in Christ. So we have to remember that whenever Jesus went to the cross and He took on the sins of the world, that at that time, if we believe in, if we trust Jesus, then we're freed from that sin. We're forgiven. That's awesome that we can be forgiven. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. So this morning, and there's like no better time than today to break those chains, to let this stuff go. Like we can do that at any time. Man, start seeing yourself different. Start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. Break those chains of bondage that bind you up, that prevent you from having the full relationship that you can with Him. Like that's the things that bothers me at night, is thinking about these things that I know are troubling people, that I know is going on in their life, and I want nothing more than people to have the strongest relationship with God that they possibly can, because He is so real. He loves us so much, and He wants so much for us to desire Him more than anything else in the world. So this morning, as we pray, I want to have a time of just silence where you can think about, like, I know that as I'm talking, things are coming up in my mind. I know that there's things coming up in your minds that you know you need to let go of, and today there's no better day than to just say, God, You can have this. I'm small. I'm helpless. I can't fix this. I want to fix this thing in my life, but I can't. You're going to have to do this. So I want You to come in, take over this, purify me, take this stuff away from me, because I don't want it anymore. I don't want these chains binding me up. I want to be everything that You call me to be. Today is the day for that. If you want to come up here and you want to pray up here, then feel free to. If you just want to pray right there where you're at, then by all means do that. But break those chains. Like, break them away from you. Do away with them and get perfect and right in God, and ask Him to show you who you are in His eyes, so that you can begin to see yourself the way that He does. Who cares what the world says? Who cares what you say about yourself? The truth is in His Word and what He says about us. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you humbly. We're so thankful for the free gift that you gave us in Christ Jesus. Whenever he went to the cross to bear our sins. God, we want to break these chains that are binding us up, that are preventing us from growing closer to you. God, help us to do that. We may not see everything, but I ask that you open up our eyes this morning to see the things that are plaguing us, the things that we struggle with, that we need to let go of. God, they don't just hurt us spiritually. They can hurt us physically. They can make us not hungry. They can make us not thirsty. They can make us lose weight. There's so many things that can happen whenever we're bound up by these things that we're struggling with, and we want to give everything to you. Lord, you are the great physician, the great fixer. You can make all things new, and you will make all things new. God, we just struggle. We struggle with unbelief. We struggle with unattractiveness. We struggle with sin. We struggle with unforgiveness of ourselves and others, and we want to give all that to you. You said that we can bring our burdens to you and you would take them. We want to do that this morning. Father, we love you and we know that you love us. God, I want you to speak to us for just a minute. I just want to speak to us. Show us what we need to do here this morning. Show us those chains. Thank you, Lord. God, is there more? Is there more that we need to do away with? Show us everything. Help us to just do away with these things. We don't want it anymore. Help us to honor you. Help us to be everything you call us to be. God, we have this big message that we're to carry to the world, and we need to make sure that we are as close to you as possible so that people can see that. We're ambassadors from your kingdom into this dark world, and we need people to see you through us. Father, thank you for your love. You're such a good Father. Thank you for showing us that there is so much power in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us today that as we walk out of here today, as we leave this church building today, that you would help us to grow stronger. God, if we're hanging on to some things that we can't let go of today, I ask that you just keep at us until they're gone. Keep convicting us. Don't stop, because we don't want you to give up on us. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We ask for all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.